Pittsburgh, PA.
My name's Scott. I'm an addict.
Hi, Scott.
Kind of caught me off guard. I was waiting for the reading. I was thinking coming up here, gave a little lead of my mind before I came. And I always say that this program is a program of love. And I've learned that since I've been here. My clean date is April 23rd, 1993. And I don't even resemble the man I was when I came here spiritually, physically, or mentally. And I wasn't even capable of loving myself for the first few years. I was very fortunate that I had the love of a sponsor, a good sponsor, who loved me until I was capable of loving myself. And he taught me the 12 steps of his program, which are the whole program. You know, he taught me pray in the morning and ask God to help me stay clean. You know, to attend the meeting, to thank him at night, because I was sponsoring a home group. He taught me that's the whole program. That and the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. He talks about it in our text that I always introduce myself as an addict because I didn't suffer from a particular substance. So it's one disease, one fellowship. I never say alcoholic and addict because it's hard enough to deal with one disease rather than two. So I suffer from the disease of addiction. And it gives me clarity. Alcohol is too limited of a term for me, much deeper than that. And, I used to come here when I first came here and introduced myself as an alcoholic and an addict. In the process of recovery, you learn these things, you learn as you go on, you know, the right way and the wrong way. See, I have nothing to offer an alcoholic, but I do have something to offer an addict. So that's why I go to NA. I get everything I need here. And this is a program of goodwill. This is a program of service. This is a program of honesty. This is a program of open-mindedness. And this is a program of willingness. And these things come from within. This program, for me, you can't intellect this program. It's not something that I decide I want. It's a gift. And it's a gift from God. I figured today, I figured my leave was going to be half decent. I didn't know whether to tell my story or whether to talk about the topic, whether it's the NA program. But the reason I figured I was going to have a decent leave today is, today in my life, I feel I'm closer to God than I've been in a long time. And how I get close to God is by living honest and right and trying to do the next right thing. But I came in here with a lot of behaviors that I developed, you know, over the years. And they're just not something that goes away. They peel off like an onion. You know, but I stayed in the process. And what I mean by I stayed in the process is I kept going to meetings, kept going to my home group, kept calling my sponsor. And probably one of the healthy things that I was lucky to do, I was able to tell on myself. And what I mean by, I'm glad you keep talking about, what I mean by telling on myself, when I was doing something wrong, I would expose it. I have a wonderful sponsor. I would say, you know, I'm doing this. And he would tell me, look, Scott, don't be so hard on yourself right now. He says, I taught you the steps and you teach me to use the seventh step before I would act out, you know, in behavior where you have to ask God to remove certain things. I still do that in my life a lot today. I find myself in the middle of the day, maybe getting a very unhealthy thought, not like I used to. And you'll find me ducked in some restaurant, some bathroom on my knees. And I say the seven-step prayer. And I'm asking God, you know, to give myself all to God. Asking him to remove the things that stand in my way. I'm serving him. And believe me, there's something about the seventh step, it works. For me, 3, 7, 11 are all about God, you know. And the whole program for me is about building my relationship with God, becoming a responsible, productive human being of society, which is against the grain of what I always was. You know, I would, how they got a perfect saying, that I would steal your money and help you look for it. That's the kind of attitude. You know. And the one thing I've learned here, I'm not a very good speaker, and even though I've been playing a little bit, I'm really a beginner. And the one thing I've learned here in this program, the more I can listen when I attend, this is just for me, whatever I'm attending or whatever I'm doing, when I learn to listen, it's been my experience, it helps help me grow spiritually. Don't ask me why, he just does. And the one thing that I've learned about faith, for me, faith is like having a vision of what I want to accomplish. And when I practice faith, it strengthens my relationship with my higher power. And I really didn't want to stand here and just like talk about God, you know. But it's not easy being an addict. But I always say, if I wasn't an addict, I never would have got close to God. It's the truth. You know, when I came here completely empty, I was in a terrible car wreck in the early 90s where 2 people died and I had to go to prison. And when I got out of prison, they pointed me to the fellowship. I had to get notes signed. And, you know, years later, even months later, I was doing my 90-90, the program caught me. But years later, I'm a completely different person. But I was empty when I came here. And God was the only thing I had to reach out on. It was something about that prayer. When I was alone in a jail cell down in Western Penn, you know, for a DUI homicide car wreck, and I asked God to come into my life and help me. I believe that was the difference. I was completely weak and completely broken. I think he heard me. And I still do that every day. I'm so dependent on it. You know. There's a lot of pain in being this addict here. Every path I ever took always led to wrong. And you find in this program that the therapeutic value of one addict to another is without parallel. Things change. Today I couldn't be freer. I'm so free. I mean, I'm free as can be from active addiction and free from most. I'm a pretty healthy human being today. I work like a mule and I have a lot of structure today. I'm very healthy. And I don't like toot my own horn, but I know it could change tomorrow. So as long as I'm doing my steps, and especially for me, I say the third step prayer every morning. I try to practice 10, 11, 12 regularly. I don't want to stand up here and take all the time of the other speakers. It was really an honor to come here and be asked to speak. And this program is my life. It's first in my life. It's before anything. You know, and the thing I most love about the program is that I see God working here. I know it's His program. I always say that in our fellowship, all paths are welcome. All paths are welcome. And thank you for listening.
Okay, I'd like to introduce Eddie from Just for Sunday, Baltimore, Maryland.
My name is Eddie, I'm an addict. And I'll be honest, I was just asked to do this about 30 minutes ago. And when I was asked, I was like really nervous at first, you know what I mean? Because I was thinking in my head of like main speaker meetings and like conventions and like looking out over all these people, and I didn't realize how intimate it was going to be. And when I got in here, I started feeling real comfortable, you know, when I sat down, like, you know, next to my sponsor, and like things were just like kind of, you know, going a little better. I felt a lot better about it. and I want to thank the committee for asking me. You know, it was kind of funny because when he asked me, he handed me this paper, and it said emergency contact on it. And I'm, like, nervous, but I'm not that nervous. I don't think I'm, like, drop dead up here, you know. So hopefully I can make it through the next 60 minutes alive and, you know, and just do what I try to practice in my life, and that is just carry the message of recovery and, like, how I got here. And, you know, and the topic is, what is NA? You know, NA, to me, has been the thing that has saved my life. It's what has brought me back to my family. It's what brought me back to my God. And it's what showed me how to live, because I didn't know how to live for my entire life. You know, it's like this program has taught me so much about having an open mind, because when I was caught up in the grip and you were trying to tell me to do something that would help me get clean, I didn't want to hear it until I was ready. You know what I mean? I didn't want to go to meetings. I was told about meetings for a long time. I didn't want to come in here and be with you people, because I didn't think that I needed that. I thought that I could always do it on my own. And I found that it took a lot of time. It took a lot of incarcerations, treatment centers, and beat myself up a lot more than I had to if I just would have listened to the first person that said, you know, NA is the way. And I've seen this program work in other people's lives. I've got a family member who's been here for 15 years, and I've seen it in her life. You know, and so when it came to me, when I just surrendered, when I just let go, and I decided that I was going to get clean, and I went to my first meeting, it was like this weight was lifted off my shoulders. When I came in here with all kind of judgmental views on what this was about. You know, when I came in here, I thought that everybody was either worse than me, or wasn't as bad as me, or was older than me, or wasn't the same color as me. And what I found out when I got here is it talks about it right in the traditions, race, creed, sexuality, or lack of religion, you know what I mean? And when I came in here, I had to, like, drop all that. The first meeting I went to, the guy who chaired the meeting, his name was Ed. And it kind of clicked to me. You know, something as minute as that opened up that window just a little bit enough just to sit there through that meeting and listen. When I was in this meeting, I was kicking a habit, and I was sick, and I was scared, and I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what my future held. I was so scared of the future because I thought that all it helped me was death. You know, I've been using for a long time, and towards the end, I didn't have anything left. You know, so after that first meeting, what I did was I went up to the guy, and I did what was asked of me, and I asked for his phone number. And every Thursday, he would pick me up, and he would take me to meetings. And every Thursday, I would go to this home group. And when I went in there, the same guy would ask me how long I was clean. And every time he asked me, it was like 7 days longer than the week before. And you know that. And what I like to say is I went to 6 inpatient treatment centers. I went to jail on 3 different occasions. And for some reason, you know, and what I get very proud of is that I got clean in NA meetings. You know what I mean? I didn't need a treatment center anymore to kick a habit. I didn't need a jail to kick a habit. All I needed was the willingness and the desire to stop using. And when I came here and I found out this, like, all this hope, and I seen everything in people's lives, people were smiling, you know, and it was something that was foreign to me because, you know, I used, and I grew up on the streets of East Baltimore, and, like, you just didn't see that every day, you know what I mean? All I seen, my closed mind is used. I don't know if anyone can relate to this, but I stopped seeing, like, the reality of life around me. When I walked out of my house, all I seen was the pain in people's faces. All I seen was the other using addicts. I didn't see the mothers anymore. I didn't see the people going to church on Sundays. I didn't see none of that. You know what I mean? So I was just, like, depressed, and I didn't even know what life was about anymore. I had forgotten what it was like before I put that drug in me. You know, and so when I came in here, and people say get a sponsor and get a home group, I didn't want those things. All I wanted to do was get 30 days clean. All I wanted to do was get matching shoes. I had one Reebok and one New Balance. And I didn't know how that happened, but that's just how it ended up. When I came to Narcotics Anonymous, I had one set of clothes and unmatching shoes. And NA just showed up for me from day one. You know, August 11th, I celebrated 2 years clean. And I'm celebrating this Sunday, and, like, my sponsor was speaking up here, and I thought it would be really cool if me and him got the chance just to go, like, just me and him, and come up here and just, like, spend this time, you know what I mean, before my anniversary when I get back to Baltimore. And like, when I was talking about age, race, creed, religion, we have none of those in common, you know. But the whole ride up here, the 4-hour drive, the 3-hour drive, the radio didn't come on. You know what I mean? It was nothing but talking. And it was just, it blows my mind how, like, when I look around at the diverse friendships that I've gathered around here, and I've got a big support group, you know, and I look around at all that, that's what NA is, man. It's not about your color, it's not about your sex, it's not about any of that. I've got gay friends, black friends, straight friends, tall friends, short friends, and all these people have touched my life in one way or another. Because when I came in, man, I was going through so much. I had 13 court dates coming up, right? And I just didn't know what to do. And I thought that it was all over again. And like, I would go to court, and there would be, like, 15 addicts there, man, to talk to this judge. And you know, when I'd walk in, and things started happening. And, like, these two Eastside cops locked me up all the time. And when I went in to court, I pulled them aside, and I told them I was clean. You know, and then I would see him again in court, and I would tell him I'm still clean, and they stopped showing up, and cases started getting dropped, and things started going in my favor, and I was saying, God, why me? Why am I not going to jail this time? How come this guy, who has a lot more going for him, goes to court for something, and goes to jail clean, and I'm not? And I had to find out that it wasn't in God's plan for that to happen, you know, and having hindsight on things, I'm going to tell you how everything develops, and how I came to the understanding that nothing is uncharted for me. You know, as long as I'm doing the right thing, there's a path that's been laid out that I want to follow. When I celebrated my first year, my father was at my anniversary. And, you know, and he was a guy, he was like my best friend. I grew up in a bar with him, pretty much. But, you know, we were real tight. And the week before I celebrated, he was diagnosed with cancer, and I was very scared. And I didn't know what to do. And I was trying to figure out how I was going to get through it, you know. And I didn't know how to get through this kind of thing. And I shared my pain in my anniversary. And my father was there, and he spoke. And, like, he was healthy and happy and joyous. And I couldn't really see what was about to take place. But I had to move into his house, and I had to take care of him and be with him on his final days. N.A., what N.A. is, N.A. gave me this point of view that when all that was going on, and I was caught up in that storm, and everybody was calling me because they thought that I was going to use, because it was just a pain that a lot of people didn't think that they could deal with. You can deal with it because you don't deal with it alone. You deal with it with the people in the fellowship. You know, the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous allowed me to get through that. And when I was going through that, I understood that I was being blessed. I understood that being able to help him, just like he helped me when I was shooting dope, I was able to help him when he was on his deathbed, and I held his hand until he took his last breath, and I buried my father, and I did it peacefully. I did it without being curled up in a ball, and I did it without wanting to use, and I got through that. And after he had died, I picked up an 18-month keychain instead of a one day again, and that's what the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous has done for me. It allowed me to get through all those court days without using. I didn't need a reason to use. People say, I used because it was sunny. I didn't give a what it was like outside. I was getting high. I knew when I woke up I was going to be sick in an hour, but I was sick when I woke up, and I knew what I had to do. So through the process of my step work and talking with my sponsor and my support group, man, I got through it with all of you. We did it as one. You know what I mean? It was a victory for Narcotics Anonymous that a guy who used over everything, who didn't understand how he felt and why he felt that way, and had to, like, put needles in his arms every day, didn't use when something like that took place in his life, is a miracle. You know, and all of us in here are miracles. If you got a day clean, man, you've got a day. And that's something that I could never even comprehend, because I didn't take day breaks or anything. The only thing that would stop me, like I said, was treatment and jail. And, you know, for me to come into this program, man, it's been a beautiful thing, and it's been a ride that I'm not going to forget, and I don't want to give it up for anything. So I came to believe in a power greater than myself. You know, my father died on February 6th, and it took a lot of faith. You know, I think it takes faith and friends to stay clean through a storm instead. You know what I mean? And so after February 6th, I had this little girl, and she came over to my house, man, and, like, her mother's a practicing addict, okay? And when she came over to my house, this little girl was beat up, black and blue, with bruises. Another thing, and that scared me more than my father's death. That scared me more than anything else, because this involved another human being, and I didn't know where to go, and I talked to some people, and I've had custody of her ever since. And her mother is an addict, and I try to show compassion. You know what I mean? But I got to do it without enabling. How do you do that? I didn't know how to do that, so I had to find other people who are going through the same thing, going through that process, and get their experience on how to deal with things like that. You know what I mean? Her family I've never gotten along with. These people call me for advice now. The addict who ruined their daughter's life at one point is now someone they call to confide with. You know what I mean? Like, man, if you could crack your head open and give it to somebody, you know what I mean? I would give it to her. I would want her to do that because it would benefit my daughter, man. The only person in my life that I really have, you know, that's just unconditional. I found the woman of my dreams and she's 4 years old, you know, and that's the only woman I really need. And I've come to find that out because when I came around here, I thought I needed everyone else to, like, validate me. You know, I had to be validated. And I've been on this, like, kick where I'm not going to do that anymore because I just want to spend time with her and my recovery and my job, man. And it's my recovery, her, work. That's my priorities in the order that they go. Because without my recovery, I don't have her. Without my recovery, I don't have work. You know, and without these things, man, I ain't never been on an airplane before. Never, until I got clean. You know, I've been on an airplane to fly to a convention. You know, and I've been able to, like, travel and find out the things that I like without the use of drugs. You know, I haven't found that I need to use, and I've had a lot of reasons. And when people come in here and they come up to me and they say, Addie, my girlfriend, you know, that girl I was dating for 2 weeks, she left me, so I got high. What the fuck are you telling me for? That's terrible. Because you used because you didn't have to. You know, you don't have to use. I've seen people stay clean through a lot more shit than I've gone through and haven't used. And it's just because, that you know, they had the willingness not to use. And I haven't talked to my kid's mother in God knows how long, and I get a phone call, you know, where she has sold everything in her house, and she's in this empty house, and she just doesn't know how to continue. And I said, well, have you gone to a meeting? And she said, no, I don't want to, because you're not ready. That's the same things that I said, and I take that, and I tell her that from my experience, you know. And the beautiful thing is, though, is, like, whenever she is ready, if she ever gets ready, I will be here to help her without prejudice. And I don't even know where I'm going with all that, man. But the message that I'm trying to carry is that the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous is working with my sponsor and step work, you know, because, see, when I got clean, I didn't know who I was going to have sponsor me. And, like, I was going through sponsors, you know what I mean? I was, like, getting, like, this sponsor because he was funny, and then, like, things would get so busy that, you know, we made a mutual agreement. The second sponsor I had did some things that I didn't approve of, and we grew apart from each other. And I was starting to think, like, I was just, like, running through people, and I didn't know who to ask. So when I found my sponsor now, and we, like, went over my step work, it was like, you know, you need to go back because you didn't scratch the surface. And I've done that, and, like, I've grown from that. You know what I mean? So, like, when I'm writing my steps now, it's in such a thorough and detailed manner that I'm starting to understand how to practice that in my daily life. Like, I didn't think how deep you could get with just being powerless over a drug. You know, and it's not just over a drug, it's over everything. And I just, I've learned so much. And I tell you what, when I had a year clean, I thought that I knew I thought I knew everything about the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. I thought, like, you know, well, hey, I'm an old-timer now, I've got over a year, and then I decided this past year that now that I'm coming up on 2 years, I'm starting to feel like I don't know a whole lot. I walked in the woods for God knows how long, you know what I mean, shooting dope and ruining my life, that this year I haven't even scratched the surface of this thing. And the point that's awesome is I'm excited to find out what's next. You know, for the first time in my life, I'm excited about my future, I'm excited about just waking up, you know. I ain't never think I'd feel that way again. I forgot what it was like without drugs. I forgot what it was like to wake up and not be sick. I forgot what it was like to wake up to an alarm clock and drink a cup of coffee, you know, and watch some news before I go to work. That's what normal people do. That's what normal people do. I thought that shit was just not for me. But wasn't, you know, and what it almost did was put me in my grave of living the way that I wanted to live. So, I really don't know how long we had to talk here.
Hey, if you
want to
talk, you go right
on ahead. Anyway, so the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous and what it means to me is basically, it says right in our literature, a fellowship of men and women whose life has become unmanageable with drugs. You know, and if it's become unmanageable with drugs, it's going to become unmanageable with other things. This is a never-ending process, and that's what I've come to learn this year. If I had to say one thing that I've learned this past year in recovery is that this is just a never-ending process, and it's been one step in front of the other, just trying to, you know, and stay excited about recovery. That was like one of my things this year. It was like when I first got Michelle back into my life, was that how do I manage all this time between work, fatherhood, and recovery? I didn't know, and I found myself losing my enthusiasm because I started thinking, like, maybe I got a little something going on here, and I don't need to be here, and it took a wake-up call for me to want to stay here. It took people dying. It took people that I had hung out with my first year, kids playing together, and all that stuff, to die, to wake me up, to put that spark back in me, to realize the reality of being here. This person had more time than I did. This person is not with us anymore, and this person was my same age. You know what I mean? And she's gone. For what? She's gone because she lost the enthusiasm. She didn't want to sit in meetings anymore. And she talked to some doctors, and she got some stuff, and she abused some stuff, and she's no longer here. It was a pharmaceutical overdose, and it wasn't like just shooting dope. You know what I mean? Someone who I had grown up with and been in treatment with and used with died this year. And it was all these signs. You know what I mean? It was like God was just talking right to me. Get it together. This is you. And, you know, I don't want to die today. Things have been good. I've gained more than I could ever possibly imagine in this fellowship. And I hope I touched on the topic enough on what the Narcotics Anonymous program is. And I'll close with what it is to me. Is my support group, it's my sponsor, and it's my meeting. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Eddie. Kind of ironic how somebody from Baltimore, Maryland, a male much younger, can get up and tell somebody from Kansas, 46 years old, and a female, their same story. I mean, he's telling it verbatim almost, except I did go to prison. God, are you sure you don't have some more you'd like to share? Okay, I'm going to open the floor up. Anybody that would like to come up and touch on what NA, what is NA, what it means to them?
My name is Bob, and I'm an addict. That kind of anonymous is the best thing ever happened to me. Narcotics Anonymous has allowed me to get and to be free of a lot of things. Narcotics Anonymous has helped me grow to be a better human being than what I am, what I used to be. NA has taught me how to go through some bad times without using. NA has taught me that I can't do this by myself, that it is a we thing, not a me thing. I have a hell of a support group in Narcotics Anonymous. We have a hell of a sponsee family, and we do things together, and we travel together, and we gain weight together, and we eat together, and we bring problems. We go out and have coffee, and we all get tired together, and we go to jump on the road 32 hours to go to different places, you know, to have some fun. Last month this time we were in Texas at a retreat, you know, 31 hours down, 31 hours back, 7-8 guys. We had a ball, man, you know. Narcotics Anonymous, man, look, has shown me a different way to live, and has shown me shown me how to live with different types of people. I don't say I'm prejudiced, I ain't never been prejudiced, but then sometimes I wasn't okay with some of my Caucasian people, you know? And what this program has taught me to be okay with people, period. You know? It helped me grow into being a better person in that area, because people are going to be people. Life's going to be life, and I have to move on with life. I can't allow your crap to mess with my life up. And this is what Narcotics Anonymous has taught me. To move on with life, regardless of the horse manure that goes around in my life. You know, it has introduced me to some people, man, that I love. people that I truly love, man. We you know, we go through some tough times with each other and with different things going on in our lives. But I'm telling you, man, my support group is great. It has really taught me to where I got some people where I can go to and talk to and sit down with no matter what happens in my life. No matter what goes on in my life. You know, I make some poor decisions, some bad decisions, you know, that hurt me. But I go to talk to my support group about it, help me get through it. And I go to my guard, my sponsor. Mm-hmm. But that's what Narcotics Anonymous has helped me see a different life and have a different perspective of life. You know, and a different perspective of people, a different perspective of situations, different perspective of whatever. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you.
Excuse me for a hot second. Listen, y'all, I'm an addict named Chuck. Yeah. I ain't got to hear the meeting, but this is what is the NA program, right? I'm going to tell you something about my recovery right now, today. Sometimes in your recovery, you can make far more work for yourself than you really need to. Okay? Like I am doing today. You know, because of me trying to reach for perfection, I forgot some very important things that I really needed to do what I needed to do here. So now it's going to have me do some little extra work. And you know what I love about the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous? If you're new, listen real carefully. I can mess up royally and everybody will say, "That's okay, Chuck, just please keep coming back." And be very sincere and very loving and mean. Because all they want me to do is succeed in my recovery. That's all the people around you want you to do, is succeed in your recovery. They don't care if you have your days of madness, your days of sadness, your days of totally doing everything just right and making everybody happy, or just the other extreme, pissing everybody off, because it's going to happen too. You know, the loving and most beautiful thing that I have found in this program is everybody says, "Chuck, we're going to take you just the way you are and love you anyway." So during the course of this weekend, during my mad dash to trying to do what I'm going to be doing out here this weekend, if I look crazy, just say, "Hey, Chuck, I love you," and give me a hug, okay? And believe me, like I think I stopped the young man out there. I said, "Just give me a hug because I need one right now." And then he looked at me and he's like, "Yeah." I said, "Yeah." I said, "Now, do you believe in that hug?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, do you really believe in that hug?" And he says, "Yeah, I really believe in that hug." See, I have a lot of confidence in y'all, a lot of confidence in y'all. And I know that if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here, and with you, I can get through this weekend. God bless you, and make sure you have a good time.
All right. Thanks, Chuck.
Yeah.
What is NA? I'm an addict named Susie.
Thank you.
NA for me is never alone, never again. I come from a little town called New York State, Kansas. I was up here last year and shared on 4th and 5th Step workshop, listened to you share workshop. I just have to reiterate what Scott said and what Eddie said, and that is NA saved my life. You know, there's no two ways about it. I was shot out, going to penitentiary. They were talking about taking one of my arms off. Had lost everything. And Narcotics Anonymous loved me until I could learn to love myself. And that took a while. But I'll tell you the neatest thing about Narcotics Anonymous. Narcotics Anonymous introduced me to a God of my understanding. And that was something I never had. I always had the God of somebody else's understanding, and that was the God that was instilled in me as a child as I grew up. And I found out about a loving God, and I found out about that loving God through Narcotics Anonymous. You know? And you know, I found out sometimes, my brother was talking about, you know, some of the things that I carried out on the streets, I carried into the fellowship with me. and the first speaker touched on the seventh step and trying to let go of those things. And I didn't know how to do that until people in Narcotics Anonymous showed me. And they had to feed it to me, a spoonful at a time. I also heard you talk about having someone in the fellowship you'd known for 15 years. I have a brother that's out there right now, and he relapsed after 15 years. He's drug and alcohol counseling. And he probably won't make it back. And it takes me to Narcotics Anonymous, and what that the symbol means at the beginning of the book, and it talks about the broader the base, higher the point of freedom. That's what Narcotics Anonymous is about to me. The broader that base, and that's my family, and Narcotics Anonymous, no matter what color you are, what your sexual preference is, where you come from, it doesn't matter. You know, the more people, the more family I have, the higher that point of freedom is going to be. And what happened to my brother was that he forgot about the gifts Narcotics Anonymous gave to him. He quit working with sponsors. He quit working with sponsees. He quit working the steps. He quit going to meetings. He thought he had this figured out. And it's just like my little brother said, you know, 2 years now and I'm thinking, I don't know nothing, you know. Well, it happened to him 15 years later, thinking he had it all figured out, you know, and he didn't. We never have to figure it out. This is a lifelong process called Narcotics Anonymous. Anybody else want to touch on this?
My name is Lori. I'm an addict.
Hi, Lori.
Narcotics Anonymous, to me, when I came in, to me, it really doesn't have anything to do about drugs, because when I came in here, I didn't really think that I had a drug problem, because I thought drugs cured my problems, okay? And to me, Narcotics Anonymous is a journey. It's a process. God, to me, like everyone says about God, I can't, like, I'm a Catholic, and I've done all my sacraments that there was to do. So I have really good, strong things, like religious beliefs. But what Narcotics Anonymous gave to me was spirituality. Because I could have all the religion I wanted, because I thought I was a good Catholic, because I closed down the crack house when church was on a Sunday. You know, because I was like, you know, I thought that was being good. You know, but it brought me to this process and this journey, and I'm continuing. Like, you know, I keep on continuing on this journey. And the more I have my colleagues in my life, the more I go to meetings, the more I do selfless service work. Not just service work, selfless service work. Things I don't want to do. Like, I don't want to sometimes, like, you know, I don't want to get to the meeting early to make coffee. Well, I'm not going, I don't know how, but I get there early and someone else makes it. But I clean the coffee pot. But, you know what I mean? Like, it's all these things. Like, it brought spirituality to my life. Okay, it brought that. It opened up. It didn't, like, give me a life. It changed my life. I already had a life. It didn't make me a person. It made me a better person. And this process, as I go continuing on my steps and listen and be open-minded, willing and honest, I become a better person. It's progress, not perfection. That's what Narcotics Anonymous is to me. It allows me to be myself, to accept me for who I am, and also to be able to accept other people for who they are. Okay, like Bob was saying, it's allowing to be disagreeable with people, to agree to be disagreeable, especially when you work in the area service or the regional service level, which, like, you know, I do with a lot of people in here. You know what I mean? It's being on these committees, you know, that you know what I mean? Like, it's hard work. It's hard work, but it's doing it. You know what I mean? It's doing stuff like that, you know. I mean, like, you know, I came up here a little bit early, and, like, there's all people gathering around, and I said, you know, I hope I'm going to be at the convention, because everyone on my committee relapsed besides one person, because they only need one day clean, because it's a greeting committee. And I didn't know it was going to be that hard, you know what I mean? And it's a really, really hard committee, you know? It's really hard. And, you know, but that's okay, you know? I'm not going to give up, because, like, you know, my like, person ahead of me says, Lord, don't be discouraged, you know? And, you know, you're going to come back next year and everything. And I'm like, yeah. But Narcotics Anonymous is this journey. And, like, and every day I wake up, the journey gets better. Because as long as I do the right thing, Okay, and one thing, like the most important thing, like I'd like to buy a thought with one you said about the seventh step is because if I, you know, but today I know I could tell when my shortcomings are coming, but I could think them before, but I don't have to act on it because if I reiterate the second step and get into it on faith high, like my higher power more, and believe that I don't want, that I could be restored to sanity, I don't have to go and get all that crazy. You know, I can do the right thing today. I can, you know, and a lot of things that this program taught me was like that to be humble. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's real hard for me to be, like, not real hard for me to be humble, but I don't know, like, you know what I mean, what is right to say and what isn't to say. Like, I just did that on the porch. But you know what I mean? Because I'm like, you know, I get, like, too humble sometimes because I don't want to say anything because I think people take it out of context. But, you know what I mean, that's my process. And everyone has their own process. And God, to me, is good, orderly direction. And the first three steps taught me that. Okay? Powerlessness, willingness, and open-mindedness. That's God. That's good, orderly direction that I work through and on a daily basis brings me closer to a higher power. Because that's, you know, that's what like Narcotics Anonymous does for me. I mean, it's like I said, it restored me to sanity. The being restored to sanity means like I haven't been sane sometime, and I heard John say that. So, and I like that. And then, you know, it was really good because I was. I haven't been sane. You know, I didn't just. I wasn't born insane. So, you know, that makes sense. And as long as I use that good orderly direction on a daily basis, sometimes I got to use it on a 5-minute basis because it's not about the. It wasn't about the drug, but it was about working through the problem, not to do the drug. Because the only time I would, like, know, like I just said, if it was, like, I didn't do drugs all the time, but when I was in my addiction, but, like, if it was I had a really good day, I went to the bar. If I had a really bad day, I went to the bar. Because the bar let me take drugs, you know. So that was, like, the stepping stone. But I didn't see that. Because I was like, I don't have a problem with drugs. I go to work. Then I go to bar. You know. But that, like, Narcotics Anonymous showed me a better way to live. You know. And it is a better way to live. You know what, I never knew about NA, and, you know, someone introduced me to NA, that had a lot of clean time, and, you know what, and I would have never, I thought everybody in here was using, I thought Jeannie was using the most, you know, so when I stuck around, and, you know, and that process began to develop, and the process is what keeps me spiritual and a good mood and being able to deal with other people to that extent.
Thanks, Lori.
Could I get someone to come up and read just for today?
I'm doing it.